I guess you could say that it might seem easier to blame the world for how you live, because then you don't have to take responsibility for yourself. Then you don't actually have to try, because then you can just give up, like we said in the beginning of the episode. But then you might also never know what's on the other side of trying. You may never know that whatever your current path is actually not for you. You may never know that the current path is actually for you. You know, you have to try. What if I told you, when it comes to the outcome of your life, that you are alone on this earth?
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
It's Violet Benson, your favorite meme queen and the big sis you didn't ask for, but need. Welcome to Almost Adulting.
Almost Adulting.
Are you ready?
Hi, besties, and welcome to a brand new Almost Adulting, the largest self-love podcast and movement, your number one destination for personal growth and mental health. I'm your big sister and your host and everything in between, Violetta Benson. Today is a very special episode because it is all about the psychology of self-sabotage. Why do we do it? So let's dive into something deeper than my last emotional breakdown, and possibly just as entertaining, okay? And that is self-sabotage. There is nothing more fun than being our own worst enemy, and obviously I'm being sarcastic about that. It's basically like being haunted by a ghost that knows all of your passwords, including the emotional ones. So then, why do we self-sabotage? Well, if I personally had to guess, although I will not be doing guesses, I will be giving you the psychology and the science behind it. But if to start off, I had to guess, it's probably the same reason of why my friend the other day decided to start a diet by buying a dozen donuts first, because he thought he was going to test his willpower, obviously. We are just complex creatures and we desire success, and yet we're also terrified of it. It's like craving visibility and then realizing that you are in your underwear or naked on stage, whatever that dream is. It's embarrassing. It's humiliating. It's scary. It's chilling. And in a weird way, it's also exhilarating. Self-sabotage is basically the art of tripping over our own feet on the way to the finish line, and then blaming the track for being too hard. It's our brain's way of saying, hey, I notice that you're about to achieve something great right now, so it would be a shame if someone messed it up, and that someone is you. But here's the kicker. The main reason that we self-sabotage is fear. Fear of failure, fear of success, and sometimes fear of not having anything to complain about. Yeah, it's wild, but it's true, because misery loves company. And a lot of times, we are so used to being at the same position we're at. We are so used to the life we've already created. We're so used to hating our lives or complaining that it's easier to stay in that mindset than to try anything else. Our brains are wired to keep us in our comfort zone, even if that comfort zone is as comfortable as wearing, I don't know, a ski outfit in the Sahara Desert. I can't think of a good analogy, but you get my drift. So how do we stop this terrible cycle of self-defeat? Well, first of all, we have to recognize that we are actually doing it. It is basically like catching yourself before you drunk text your ex. Not after, not during, before. Before you're having anal with him. Before. You know it's a bad idea. But part of you thinks, well, what's the worst that could happen? A dick in your ass. Sorry. Just kidding. Anyway, spoiler alert, a lot can happen, okay? The worst thing that can happen could happen. So that is why you have to catch yourself before. And then once we recognize it, we are then able to try to understand it. Not just try, we need to understand it. We need to do a deep dive into the why. Why do I keep self-sabotaging myself? Is it because I'm scared of success? Is it because deep down I feel like I don't deserve it? Or maybe, just maybe, it's because I've watched too many reality TV shows and for whatever reason, I think that drama is a necessary part of my life. And it's not. Understanding leads to action. But not the kind of action where you are going to dramatically declare, I will never self-sabotage again. I'm healed. I fix it. It's kind of like, you know, you go to therapy once and your therapist says, you're good. You don't need to come back again. You're like, oh my God, I've healed. It doesn't happen. You know, because when you go and you declare, I will never self-sabotage again, guess what's happening 3 days later? You do exactly that. So I'm talking about small, consistent actions. For example, like choosing to believe in yourself, even on days where you feel that you are as useful as a house pet that doesn't pay rent. It's about setting boundaries. It's about saying no to things and people that drain you. And it's about saying yes to things that nourish you, like a healthy relationship with failure. It's understanding that every mistake is not a billboard advertising your incompetence, but instead it's a stepping stone to greatness, or at the very least, to better mistakes. And sometimes that thing that drains us the most is actually yourself and your mindset. Because look, I mean, the universe is not going to surprise you with success when you spend about 90% of your time expecting failure. Okay, here's an example. Most of us have seen the movie Titanic, right? Do you know who's the luckiest person in that movie? Do you think it's Jack? Because he fell in love with the most beautiful girl, Rose, even though, you know, he totally dies and she saves herself? No, he's not. Do you think it's Rose because she got some dude she knew for a couple of days to sacrifice his life to save her from death? Also no. It's neither Jack nor Rose, because the luckiest person is actually an unknown guy who lost his ticket to Jack and he got to live. So what's the golden message here? It's that sometimes failure is good. For example, if you failed your exam, you failed in a whatever stage in your life currently, you failed a relationship, you didn't reach your goal, you failed your love life. It doesn't matter. Everything happens for a reason, and sometimes failure is good. Maybe God saved you from the biggest disaster of your life. Failure doesn't happen because the universe is out to get you, regardless of whatever you're thinking in your mind. Thoughts create reality. So that means you're always going to attract people and situations who will give you exactly what you fear if fear continuously remains more dominant in your brain than confidence or believing in yourself. Self-sabotaging behavior is often superly, deeply intertwined with negative mindset. Think of it like this. If your mind was a garden, your thoughts would be, there would be the seeds that you plant. You plant seeds of doubt, of fear, of negativity, and then you harvest a lush garden of self-sabotage. Why? Because what we believe about ourselves shapes our actions and our reactions to the world around us. So often we walk around thinking, oh, this person hates me. Oh, everyone's going to know I failed. Blah, blah. No one's thinking about you. Everything you see around you is a projection of how you feel about yourself. So when your inner monologue is a constant stream of, I can't, I shouldn't, or I'm not good enough, it's basically like you are programming yourself to fail, or at least to not try very hard. It's as if you're wearing glasses tinted with, I'm just going to mess this up anyway. So then even when opportunities come knocking down, you are too busy triple checking the peephole of pessimism to answer the door. A negative mindset fuels self-sabotage by convincing you that failure is inevitable. So you might as well be the one to be in control of it. That is your safety mechanism. It's a way to protect yourself from the pain of potential disappointment or the fear of the unknown. You think, well, I'm in control. Who cares? It doesn't matter. I'm going to fail anyway. You know, you walk around saying, yeah, you know, I interviewed today for that job, but fuck it. I'm probably not going to get it anyway. Okay, cool. Then you won't get it. You think you're protecting yourself with this mindset, but you're actually making your life worse. By trying to avoid these feelings, you're also barricading the door against success, against fulfillment, and against growth. For example, I was actually sitting in a negative mindset before I wrote this episode. I actually wrote this episode because I was in a negative mindset. I was sitting there and my mind started to spiral. I was thinking about how it's already been 3 months, just sped through of 2024. And how it feels like nothing has worked out the way I wanted to, not enough. And then I start to think, right, but what if things actually get worse? What am I going to do? I have no control over anything in my life. What even is the point of anything? Nothing will ever get better. It's not crazy how when we start spiraling, it always ends up with the fact that like nothing ever, ever, ever will ever be okay. Let me guess, your medicine cabinet is crammed with stuff that doesn't work for you. You are not sleeping, you're still hurt emotionally and physically, and you're stressed out. Hello, welcome to adulthood, okay? That is how it used to be for me, but not anymore, because I cleared out my cabinet and I decided to reset my health, starting with CBD from CB Distillery. It's been a real game changer, okay? CB Distillery targets formulations that are made from the highest quality, clean ingredients. There's no fluff, there's no fillers, it's just pure, effective CBD solutions designed to help support your health. In just two recent clinical surveys, 81% of customers experienced more calm. 80% said that CBD helped with their pain after physical activity, and an impressive 90% said they sleep better with CBD. I'm one of them. I'm finally sleeping. Not to mention, I recently did a get ready video with me, and this wasn't sponsored or anything. And I used this CB Distillery stick to help relieve my physical pain because I'm just constantly in pain just because I'm in my 30s. It works, okay? So if you struggle with a health concern and you haven't found relief, then make the change like I did to CB Distillery. With over 2 million customers, including myself, in a solid 100% money-back guarantee, CB Distillery is the source to trust, including me. Trust me when I tell you this. And right now, I have a 20% discount to get you started. Visit cbdistillery.com and use my code ADULTING for 20% off. You heard me correctly. That is cbdistillery.com. Using my code ADULTING for 20% off, cbdistillery.com. I'd like to officially name spring FOMO season. It's that time of the year where everyone is getting married, throwing dinner parties, going on dates, you name it, okay? And let's not forget the nerve-ending parade of bachelor weekends. Sure, it's a blast, but it's also exhausting, okay? Luckily, one of my favorite partners, Glam Squad, is here to take one very important thing off your plate, and that is getting ready. Their vetted beauty pros come to your office, your home, your hotel to deliver blowouts, updos, makeup, and mani-pedis on demand in select locations for the mani-pedi. Talk about service. And if you don't believe me, you guys, I have been using Glam Squad since when I first created Daddy Issues. And by the way, you don't need a special occasion to get Glam Squad. It can just be another Monday night, but you're ready to get that blowout because you finally have one night away from that child of yours. So you hardly even know. I mean, you've known that kid for like a year, but you've known your friends for 20 years and you go out with them and you give a blowout from Glam Squad, okay? I personally love them. Like I said, I've been using them in every city I've ever traveled to. in the States, Vegas, Miami, Los Angeles, New York. When I'm in these states, I always get Glam Squad to look good. Okay. Not only does it end up saving me a ton of time, but I know that I look good and I feel good. Okay. So for a limited time right now, Glam Squad is giving my listeners $20 off of any service. It's valid whether or not you booked with them before, so you can still use it. So visit glamsquad.com or use their Glam Squad app. I use their app, so make sure to download that. It makes things way easier. And use my code adulting at checkout for $20 off of any service in whatever city you are in to have the best night of your life where you feel good and you look good. Okay? You're welcome, besties. Now, the next normal step that has to do with our nervous system when it becomes dysregulated is our human brain does this thing where the minute we sink into negative thinking, our brain will look for confirmation. It's just automatic. It seeks to confirm and validate our thoughts, therefore turning our thoughts into our reality. So normally, what I would do at this point would either be to go through my memories, through my nervous system being dysregulated, I would go through my memories and my brain will search through my memories through my whole life and it will look for any recent rejections, any rejections of my childhood to kind of confirm that I'm a fucking pathetic loser. And if that's not enough, I will then most likely go on social media and I will check to confirm by seeing, yep, negative engagement, terrible engagement. No one gives a shit about me. Exactly what I was thinking. Or I would look for someone DMing me, telling me to kill myself. Great. They get it. They see something I didn't. They see right through me. You know, just allow those negative emotions to really just take over. My brain is seeking that confirmation. Now, another thing you might do when you are going through negative thoughts, if you're not doing those things, you will then go on Reddit, on Twitter, or somewhere else where there's loads of negativity, where people are just fighting with each other. And you would just go through that because that will incite the fire of hate that's already happening in your heart. This is the most normal step for us humans to follow once our thoughts go down the negative rabbit hole. So this time, something else happened. As I was about to do all those negative steps, because I'm a human being, I accidentally stumbled onto a piece of advice instead that helped me take a step back and think things clearly. It was this random quote about how you can't have a positive life with a negative mind. And I know it's so cliche, so silly, but it's just about how life is unpredictable and it's also what makes it beautiful. And this one line of you cannot have a positive life with a negative mind, it kind of actually got to me because it made me re-remember, right, I should be a little more grateful. And then instead of looking for negative things on the internet, I started researching of things that can actually inspire me, of things that can help me step out of this negative mindset because I want to have a positive life. Misery loves company. I don't like that company. So after I did all this research, that's how I ended up writing this episode. So when you're feeling down, you're feeling stressed, you're in that negative mindset, you're about to self-sabotage yourself, how do you change these things? How do you stay motivated during hard times? Well, there's three things that you can do. One, changing your mindset. Two, self-awareness. And three, surrounding yourself with positivity and people that inspire you. So it starts first with changing your mindset, which is obviously easier said than done. But think of this as like switching those negativity tinted glasses for a pair that highlights opportunities, strength, possibilities. It doesn't mean that you will now be ignoring any challenges or pretending the problems don't exist. You're crossing the street, the light turns red instead of green, and you go, you know what? No, not today. I'm having a positive mindset. So in my mind, the light is green. No, you're gonna die. Like, that's not the type of delusional that I'm telling you to be. So you don't ignore those challenges. It means that you know your challenges, your problems exist. It means acknowledging them, but focusing on solutions and growth. The truth is, you can't stay motivated during hard times. you're anxious, you're worried, and you don't know what to do. It's taking a toll on you. You want to sit in your room and not do anything. I know for me, I like to sleep. I like to watch K-dramas. It helps me kind of check out. You don't feel like going out. You don't feel like doing anything. So then what if I told you during hard times, I'm not here to force you to be motivated because you can't. Stop chasing motivation during that time. Instead, chase change. Try to change something about your situation, about your life, about your day, about your mindset. Just one little change. Try to change something about you that got you to where you are right now. Learn something new. Change a habit, a personality trait. Make a plan or try something absolutely new. Get out of your comfort zone. And then you repeat the same thing daily. This is something that actually has helped me. Every time I feel down and like giving up, which is every other week, I force myself to pivot in my mindset. And I've done this for so many years. And I think this goes to anyone that's a hard worker or anyone that, you know, comes from nothing, that you don't have your parents' money to fall back on or anyone to depend on. You're kind of like, well, can't cry about it for a whole week. I got to pay my rent. So it forces you to constantly pivot when you feel like you're failing. So I've been doing this for years. And these moments, as much as I feel helpless, like nothing will ever get better, without even realizing now, it's become such a habit that it's automatic for me. I immediately begin to think of a solution, what I can do to get results that I want. I've never in my life even realized that I've been doing this automatically until literally like around 2 weeks ago. I was in this hopeless stage, and there's nothing worse than feeling helpless and in despair, like nothing was working out for me. And in that moment, I came up with some new solutions because, you know, if something's not working out for you, isn't the saying it's insanity to just repeat the same thing over and over again? So I came up with some solutions. And in that moment, I was actually able to catch myself coming up with those solutions. And in that moment, it made me feel proud of myself. It gave me a boost of hope again. It put me at ease that at least I have this trade that's going to help me figure it out. It means no matter what, I always have me. And no matter what, I will always figure it out, right? I've done it before and I can do it again. And the thing is, when you're going through these situations, even when you have these little moments, what I call little wins, don't put it under the rug. Don't gaslight yourself that, okay, whatever, it's not a big deal. No one's going to understand the small little win that actually turned into a big win. No one's going to understand how hard it took you to get to that point to even have a small little win. No one's going to be clapping for you for that tiny little achievement or realization except yourself. And I want you to be clapping for yourself. That is why it's so important to celebrate ourselves, not just our big wins, but our small ones as well. Because no one else knows how much you fought to get to that exact moment where you currently are, including internally to get to where you are, mentally and spiritually and emotionally. So again, do not seek motivation when you already feel defeated, but instead look to change, look to pivot. Look to change something, starting with something small. We forget that we got to keep trying things out until eventually something has to work out. That's life. Things don't change with time. Things change with effort. So in order to change your perspective and lead to a better life, almost free of self-sabotage, you need to become mentally stronger. So how can one become mentally strong? Well, by using my stop rule. What's my stop rule, you ask? Let me tell you. It consists of 10 things. Stop the victim mindset. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Enough with the self-pity. You are not a victim. We're done with that. Number two, stop whining about what you cannot control. No one cares. Number three, stop being a people pleaser. It will only end up making you resentful. Number four, stop fearing failure. I'm actually going to create a whole episode to you to explain the paradox between failure and success. You need failure to get to success. Sorry, it's the truth. Number 5, stop avoiding change. Again, when you're in that mindset, self-sabotage or nothing will ever work out, instead of chasing motivation, you should be seeking change. So stop avoiding it. Number 6, stop making the same mistakes over and over again. Hence why you need change, because it's insanity to do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Number 7, stop dwelling on the past. You fucked up. You failed. You didn't know any better until you finally figured it out. You didn't know any better until you finally knew better. Congratulations. Now move on. You cannot change it. Move on. Number 8, stop trying to be like someone else and follow the crowd. Focus on you. Number 9, stop thinking that the world owes you something. That is the quickest way to be let down. It doesn't. The world owes you nothing. The world is unfair, I know. Oh well. Only you owe yourself something. And that something is to give yourself the life that you believe that you deserve by getting up every single day and trying. And number 10, stop feeling entitled to success. We only deserve what we fight for, okay? Being mentally stronger means that you're removing the blockages that are stopping you from being the best version of yourself. Now, secondly, we move on to self-awareness. With self-awareness, notice when those negative thoughts are creeping in. The thing is, you can't control your thoughts. They just happen. But you can notice when it's happening. So you kind of imagine them like these unwanted text messages or notifications. You see them, but you don't have to open them. You replace them with thoughts that serve you better. Instead of, I always mess up, try with, I learn from my mistakes, or this time I will learn. Instead of, I just can't do this, try, I'm going to give this my best shot, okay? So a few things you should do during this time. 3 things, actually. The first one is, never surround yourself with negative people, because no matter how many positive sentences you're going to chant in your mind, these people will anchor you down anyway. Number 2, chanting one sentence, like some manifesting mantra that you saw on TikTok by some healing girl with crystals, will not give you the results that you're actually looking for. It would actually give you 0 results. Chanting a positive sentence in your mind is great and all, but you actually need to prepare a roadmap. You need to strategize, and then you need to work on it. That's how you will see results. Number 3, I guess it's 4 things, sorry. Obviously, motivating YouTube videos, TED Talks, podcasts, speeches such as this, great books to read, all of those things, sure, they're going to give you that temporary relief, that encouragement, but ultimately, you are going to have to get up and move your ass and do something. And lastly, trust your abilities that you can do it. If you're not going to believe in yourself, how do you expect others to, okay? Remember, your mind is a powerful tool. So when you fill your mind with positive thoughts, your life does start to change. So do you want some advice to cheer you up? How about 18? That's right. I found 18 quick advices to give you. You ready for this? All right, let's go. These are a little cliche, but whatever. I don't know. It inspires me. Number 1, every day you wake up, you have a new job, and that is only to be better than you were yesterday. Number 2, you will never get what you want until you're first grateful for what you have. Number 3, sometimes what you're trying to hold on to is exactly what you need to let go of. Number 4, God puts people in your life for a reason, and He also removes them from your life for a better reason. Number 5, and I love this one, okay, you ready? The devil would not be attacking you so hard if there wasn't something valuable inside of you, because thieves do not break into empty houses, period. Number 6, you are going to lose a lot of friends when you get really serious about your life goals, and that's okay. Number 7, not all relationships will lead to marriage, Some will help you discover new restaurants. That one was really silly. Sorry. Number 8, it is not selfish to make your happiness your main priority. Number 9, and this one, again, is important, so listen up. Stay away from quote-unquote still people. Still broke, still complaining, still hating, still nowhere, still stuck in a rut, still not moving forward while blaming everyone else around them for their problems. Stay away from those people. Number 10, anything that costs you your mental health is too expensive. Number 11, people may be upset when you choose yourself over their mess. Choose yourself anyway. Number 12, there is a past version of yourself that is so proud of how far you've come, I promise you. Number 13, if someone's absence brings you peace, then you didn't lose anything. Number 14, this one is really cool. This has to do with research. Research shows if you write down negative thoughts and then throw them away like garbage, it will actually help improve your mood. Cool, right? Number 15, another research fact. Research shows that if you can identify the feeling that you are feeling in that exact moment, it will actually help relieve it and remove it from your body. Cool again, right? Number 16. Research shows that even the illusion of progress is very motivating and will take you to the next step. Number 17. This one is really cute. Your physical pain, as well as fear and stress, can be relieved by holding hands with someone you love. This is a psychological fact. So, yeah. Next time you're feeling bad, ask your partner or a stranger at Starbucks, hey, bro, can we hold hands? This is really going to help you with my stress. It's the doctor recommended it. So research shows this helps. Do it. Number 18, smart people mostly underestimate themselves. So that should make you feel better. If you underestimate yourself often, you must be kind of smart. At least I would think, because this is research. So research shows that smart people mostly underestimate themselves while ignorant people always consider themselves brilliant. This is actually also known as the Dunning-Kruger effect. Yeah, real research, okay? Okay, so you know how sometimes you see all these influencers or people on the internet that constantly have a new outfit every other day and you're like, how do they afford it? Guess what? They use clothing rental services. And my current favorite subscription clothing rental service is Nuuly. Okay, not only does it just cost only $98 a month, but for $98 a month with Nuuly, you get one, your choice of any 6 styles each month. You get to choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. They cost different prices, but you only pay $98 that month for those 6 items. You get access to 1,000 of styles from more than 400 brands, everything from party dresses to premium denim to one-of-a-kind vintage pieces to amazing, beautiful coats. They carry labels like Free People, Farm Rio, Selkie, For Love and Lemons, Anthropologie, A Goldie, and so much more. And they also have inclusive sizing. It's up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Then it's also fast and free shipping. I love that. Okay. And returns are so easy and professional cleaning in Nuuly, state-of-the-art laundering facility. There's no laundry for you to do. You don't need to worry about that. And the best option is that you can actually buy whatever you rent if you love it so much. And usually it's around 75% off. So not only do you get to rent these clothes for super cheap monthly, wear it, take pics of it, and then return it, but you get to also, if you're so obsessed with the outfit, this is the only website you will find it for such a high discount. Cool, right? I know. So Nuuly is basically the subscription clothing rental service that's all about helping you have fun, get creative with your style, and renting with them lets me shift my gears in my wardrobe without a complete and completely expensive overhaul, okay? Every month, I'm renting 6 items from Nuuly, share closet of over 17,000 styles for everything I have going on. Basically, it's fun, Okay. Newly gives you everything that you need to get inspired, get creative, explore your style without making commitments. Okay. It frees your closet of impulse purchases, of silly spending, and it skips that whole buyer remorse by renting instead. It's also sustainable. Newly lets you love fashion in a way that's kinder on the planet. And I love that. It's 2024. We need to do better and still dress really nice, okay? Orders are shipped in recycled, recyclable, and reusable totes with no plastic packaging. Clothes are then cleaned using energy and water efficient methods, and styles are repaired rather than thrown out. And it's flexible. There are no fees, including late fees. There's no damage fees, and there's no fees to pause or to cancel. So it's not a big deal if you lose a button. It's not a big deal if you spill something. And it's not a big deal if you just need a little break. There's no fees involved, okay? Newly is a great value, $90 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can also get $20 off of your first month of Newly when you sign up using my code ADULTING20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Newly with two U's, and enter my code ADULTING20 and sign up to get $20 off of your first month. What more can you ask for? Do it now. Now, the last one to changing your mindset when it comes to being in a negative state of mind, which makes us self-sabotage ourselves, is surrounding yourself with positivity. And this is not just people who uplift you, but environments and situations that inspire you. It's all about cultivating habits that foster a positive mindset, like gratitude journals, meditation, or simply engaging in activities that bring us joy. So this is something really cool that I was reading online and I wanted to share with you guys. This has to do with why it's so important to surround yourself not just with positive people, but people that inspire us. Okay, so this girl wrote this on Reddit. Hina Anzer, she said, "One of the earliest lessons that I learned in life was when I learned to play the game of chess from my neighbor. And the easiest way to learn chess is actually by playing the game. Every time I played with Aisha, Aisha used to defeat me. And I still clearly remember because these were my thoughts and I was in eighth grade. And the first 35 days in every game we played, Aisha defeated me. And then on the 36th day, I won. And on the 37th day, I won. And I told myself, I will play with Aisha for at least 71 days because I want to win one more time than her. I am consistently now winning. And then within a few days of winning, a very profound realization hit me that as long as I was losing to Aisha, my game was improving. And now, ever since I began winning against Aisha, only my ego was improving. The game was not improving anymore. I realized that if you want to develop yourself, you must surround yourself with people whom you look up to. But if you want to develop your ego, you can continue to surround yourself with people who look up to you." Beautiful, right? I know. So be in a room with people that are smarter than you. That will help elevate you. Be around people that inspire you. Put yourself in situations that challenge you. Now remember, changing your mindset is not about pretending that everything is sunshine and rainbows. It's about choosing to focus on the light, even when there are clouds. So next time you catch yourself setting up for self-sabotage, ask yourself, is this thought planting seeds of growth or seeds of doubt? Choose growth, my friends, and watch your garden flourish. Now, the last thing that I wanted to leave you with when it comes to self-sabotage is that we often blame our circumstances or those around us for our lives. But we don't realize how much weight we then give people around us when we do that. As if someone else gets to decide whether or not you will live a good life. How can you put such a huge decision in someone else's hands as if you don't have a choice? I guess you could say that it might seem easier to blame the world for how you live because then you don't have to take responsibility for yourself. then you don't actually have to try, because then you can just give up, like we said in the beginning of the episode. But then you might also never know what's on the other side of trying. You may never know that whatever your current path is actually not for you. You may never know that the current path is actually for you. You know, you have to try. So what if I told you, when it comes to the outcome of your life, if you haven't learned anything so far through this episode, then pay attention to this. What if I told you, when it comes to the outcome of your life, that you are alone on this earth? That is something that a man by the name of John Roslow, an ordinary man, regular person, wrote that I loved. And he wrote this when discussing a hard truth that he learned in his life from his father. And I wanted to share this as the last thing here. John Roslow wrote, "You are alone on this earth." When I was 23 years old, I graduated college and I worked for my father for about a year. And then I packed up my car and I moved roughly 1,000 miles away from Chicago to Boston. I had never visited Boston before and I was going to move in with my friend, try to get a job, and ultimately, you know, build a life for myself. My father opted to help me with the drive. And then we spent 2 days on the road together. We talked about a bunch of stuff. Stories I have from college, stories that he had from his youth, stories from his victories, his failures, how proud he was of me. And then one piece of advice he bestowed upon me was as clear as day and has stayed with me now for 8 years later. He said, "You're alone on this earth. You have me and your mother. We will be here for you more than anyone else. You then have your brother and your sister. You will probably find a life partner. You will then have the illusion that they are with you and that your close friends are with you. But the truth of the matter is that you are the only one in that head of yours. You have to determine what you want and who you want to be. Only you." So at first, it seemed like the most depressing thing I ever heard. Like, I'm going to be alone? What the F does that mean? I couldn't imagine this guy. The guy I hold above all other people in my life saying that to me, that I'm alone. The guy who I aspired to build my character to mirror. The guy who gave me everything I wanted as a child. The guy that loved his family unconditionally could say something like this to me? Is that what he's been feeling? That he's just alone? And I thought to myself, he's lying. I have friends that will be there for me through thick and thin. I have a network of people that support me and care about me. He's wrong. So then I meditated on his advice for a couple of days. What he was talking about began to marinate. I finally knew exactly what he was talking about. And it was the most liberating thing I had ever heard. I am alone. I felt free in that moment. No one but me was going to be living in this head for the rest of my life. No one was going to follow what truly makes me happy but me. No one was going to challenge myself hard enough to learn what I wanted to learn but me. No one was going to put myself out there to share love with a partner but me. No one was going to be hurt by dating numerous people or making mistakes and have the opportunity to learn from those scars quite like me. No one was going to go into an interview in my place in order to secure my dream job like me. No one was going to get fired like I ultimately did and learn from that experience like me. I was alone. This is my life and only my life, no one else's, because I was free to be me. I have never forgotten what my father said that day, and I never will. Now when I feel down, I know that I am the sole catalyst in getting myself back up. When I want to learn something, I know that it's within my power to get out there and learn it. When I want to write, when I want to create, when I want to change and pivot my life, I know that I have no one else that will do the work for me but me. I work on myself and I live my life so I can help build the community around me. You're the only person that is going to be in that head of yours. Every night before you go to sleep, just before you settle off into that dream state, every morning when you wake up, just before you enter the world to meet its demands. It's you. You're alone. So what are you going to do with that freedom? Thank you so much, you guys, for listening for another episode of Almost Adulting. If you enjoyed today's episode, please go ahead and subscribe to my Almost Adulting podcast. We have new episodes twice a week. And also, if you enjoyed today's episode so much, do me a favor and subscribe to my premium podcast for 2 extra episodes a week, so equating to 4. And that is almostadulting.supercast.com. And the link is also available in the bio of today's description. And if you really love me and you want to do me the biggest favor, then go ahead and write me a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app to show me how much you appreciate the work that I put into my podcast in today's episode. I love you. If you can do anything today, it would be to not self-sabotage. Be kinder to yourself, okay? Bye.